Thank you for joining Dayspring Christian Church today. Our aim is to share the transforming love and power of Jesus Christ. Please enjoy a Sunday sermon already in progress.
Do you know that your life, my life, our life is no longer ours? That's part of us living for God. That's part of us living for Jesus. Why is that? Why is our life no longer ours? Romans 6 says, Romans 6, verse 6 to 11. So we know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we will also live with him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead and he will never die again. Death no longer has any power over him. When he died once to break the power of sin. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Christ Jesus. So our old selves died with Christ on the cross. It says it plainly. And then jump down to Romans 6, 15 to 23. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can continue to sin? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become the slave of whatever you choose to obey? You can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. Thank God, once you were slaves to sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey this teaching we have given you. Now you are free from your slavery to sin, and you've become slaves to righteous living. It says it right there. Because of the weakness of our human nature, I'm using the illustration of slavery to help you understand all this. It says, we jump down to verse 20. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and a result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Isn't that something? Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of that verse before, if it's new, if you're reminded of that, but we live new lives. Since Christ was raised to life, so are we. Once we were spiritually dead to the power of sin, but now have the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. My New Testament professor told me this, that, you know, many believers think they're free from sin and free to do as they please, free indeed. But now we serve a new master. We used to serve sin. We're free from sin. We serve God. We serve God. We're slaves to God. And that is through choosing to live righteously by obeying God. So we can already see a theme here, and that is righteous living is the way to live for God. That is it. That is it. So in 2 Corinthians 5:14, it says, since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. I'll read that again. Those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So you're no longer living for yourself. Just tell yourself that out loud. I'm no longer living for me. I'm no longer living for me. 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. A new life has begun. For you, a new way of living in your life. And we know that the same Spirit that raised Christ to life lives in us. So with that being said, we're aware that we're going to suffer. And then 1 Peter 4, verse 1 to 3, but in verse 2 specifically, you won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own fleshy desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. And what do we remember from the beginning, just moments ago? That the will of God is for you to follow him wholeheartedly, right? So that is it. That is what entails living. That is what God wants for you, to live for him and not to live for yourself. The flesh ain't gonna like that, but this is the truth. This is what you gotta be reminded of. One of the three, that was live, okay? So jumping down to love now. And the question that comes from this is, are you loving like Jesus loved? Do you know that God is love? Are you even trying? It takes you back, right? So we're all familiar with 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 7, the love is patient, kind verse. And I remember back in Sunday school, our teacher, Pastor Lori, would have us substitute our names for whenever the word love came up in that verse. And so when you read it, it gets every time because it's a struggle. And if you're not doing all those things in the verse, you realize just how short you fall of everything that is found in it. You don't hold love the way God does. You don't practice love the way God shows it to you. You don't show others love the way God loves you. You don't see others the way God sees you. And that changes the way you see others, the way you talk to people, the way you carry yourself as a Christ follower, one who's following Christ, one who is called to live for him. Right? So I'll read it for you. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It's not irritable and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful and endures through every circumstance. Bless your heart if you're abiding by this verse and truly upholding it in your hearts. But if you want to know more about love, look to 1 John 4, verse 7 to 21. And this is where we're starting to learn what love is. Because we can say we know what it is, but really in our actions and what we're doing in this life, is it really showing? Is that really what God sees you're doing? Because your life is supposed to be a reflection of the God you serve. And if you're serving the God of love, is your life full of love then? Do you know God? So it says it here. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. God showed how much he loved us by sending his son and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we have put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear, because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he first loved us. And he has given us this command: those who love God must love their fellow. That's what 1 John 4, verse 7 to 21 is about. And there's a lot going on, but now we understand this bunch of verses speaks on how God is love. And if you know God, you should definitely know what love is and what it's all about. It was through God's love for us that he sent Jesus. We know that for God so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, you know, for us, for you and me, for your neighbor, for your coworker, for that family member, that relative, for the people you see across the street, the people you see on the bus, the people you walk past, just strangers. But he died for them. That's who Jesus thought of on the cross. And that love is the love that we should show to one another as well. This is one of those great commands. It's also the greatest command, actually, that Jesus says. And we love others because he first loved us. And it's not the other way around. So if you're hating on someone or you got some turmoil going on in your heart against some person, think about this. Because God doesn't hate you. So why are you hating someone else? What's going on? The equation just does not add up, right? If God is love, and it just comes down to that. It just comes down to that. We can also see how living our God-filled lives is a reflection of the God we serve, because even the Bible talks about love covering a multitude of sins. So when you open your home for fellowship or place to share a meal or to stay, it's shown and it's continued in 1 Peter 4, 10 to 11. Talks about using our gifts to serve one another. Speaking, using words as though God himself were speaking to you. Gentle, kind, sweet like honey kind of words, right? Words to uplift one another and not tear them down or harm them in any way. Because guess what? Does God speak that way to you? No. So why would you speak that way to someone else? That wouldn't be loving. Or the gift of helping others and doing it with the strength that God gives you. Philippians 4:13, right? That strength. Yes. So serving each other is connected to loving each other. And we can use our gifts that we've been given for God's glory, for his kingdom, towards his people. So knowing this will change the way you love. Okay? So the way God loves always is the way you should show love to someone else, giving him the time of day. And if you're thirsting, if you're quenching for something more from God, this is the next one, long. This is the question. Do you thirst or quench for the Lord, for the word of God? Do you thirst or quench for the truth? Do you thirst or quench for hope? Do you thirst or long for love? Do you thirst or long for a life full of Jesus? What we talked about, what we're learning right now, just a reminder of who Jesus is, really, because we forget. We really do forget. And it's not a reflection of who we serve, because we end up serving ourselves. We end up serving ourselves. And that is robbing others of the love of God, actually. So longing is you need something, you need someone, and you can't find it anywhere else, right? You searched all over and you couldn't find nobody, like the song says. But there's one thing we know about longing, wanting, having a desire, craving something. The Bible may not be the first thing that satisfies that craving you may be having, right? We know that. But if you're longing for something refreshing to your soul today, I can assure you, Jesus is the living water. Jesus is the living water for you. You will never thirst again spiritually. Okay? Spiritually. And this is not something our flesh wants anything to do with. Actually, it's tough. It's a war going on because you never want to do it, but you don't know. You can't see, right? But the Lord is revealing this. We got to cry out for this nourishment that the Bible talks about. And we've tasted of the Lord's kindness, his love, his truth this morning. We're learning about this. So how can we long for Jesus? We search for him in the Word. The Word, by opening up your Bible. And if you don't know where to start, start with him. Start with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Just reading about his life, wanting to be more like him, like Janae said, copying Jesus. Seeing how he lived, though we're not Jesus, seeing how he loved people, loving, copying the way he loved people, copying the way he talked to people, full of grace, right? He listened to people. So we search for him. We get to know him. And then it comes down to our behavior. We get rid of all evil behavior, be done with deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, unkind speech. 1 Peter 2, verse 2 says, like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. This is how we're going to grow in our relationship with him. Now, how else will you grow if not straight from the source of life? We know our moms, that's where we got our nourishment from, right? And that's how we grew. And God gave us life to breathe and move and to live for him. He is the source of life, the source of hope, the source of love. Everything is found in him. So if you're lacking, you got to be aware that maybe you're getting it from somewhere else. Maybe you're trying to do it on your own. And you know you cannot. We know that we cannot. We try to do it all by ourselves. And we're not getting anywhere, really. But since he is the way and the truth and the life, that is what needs to happen. We must long for a relationship with the one we get everything from. Truth, hope, love. That's what's found in Jesus. It is about Jesus. Jesus restoring you. Jesus using you. But getting to know him first, it's a new life that is being poured over you. We know that. We learned about that just now. And if we're going to pick up our cross and follow him daily, long for Jesus to show you the way. Teach me, Jesus. That's what we can pray. Teach me, Jesus, how to live for you. Teach me, Jesus, how to love for you. Teach me, Jesus, how to long for you. Because we know that in some seasons, we just get so dry. We get tired of doing the same thing. So ask Jesus to refresh you today. Ask him to quench your thirst for something new. No one can come to the Father except through him. No one. I'm going to read this again. So get rid of all evil behavior. Be done with all deceit, hypocrisy, jealousy, and all unkind speech, Like newborn babies, you must crave pure spiritual milk so that you will grow into a full experience of salvation. We're learning more and more about Jesus every day. And it's not a certain limit that you've reached and you're there. It's a daily thing and it's an ongoing thing. And as believers, as the body of Christ, DCC, we have to encourage each other and uplift each other because it's serious. This is the life we decided to follow. We decided to follow Christ. And this is all that comes with following him. And yes, it is going to be hard, but you're not the only one in it. You are not the only one in it. And Jesus loves, and Jesus is still here with open arms. And he loves you. He loves you dearly. To live for Jesus, to love like Jesus, to long for Jesus. That is how we follow. We learn to follow him with our heart and not by our feelings, because that can even throw us off. Now there's this verse that I think ties everything together. It's found in Psalms 119, verse 1-7. I'll read it out. So joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Oh, that DCC's actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Decrees, laws, basically. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, I will thank you by living as I should. As we, DCC, learn his righteous regulations for our lives, what he wants for us, how to live for him, how to love, how to long for him. Once we are starting to learn this, we will thank him. We will give our lives as an offering to God by living in the way we should, by living a life full of righteousness. That is it. I want to read this again. Joyful are people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all his heart, with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in his paths. You have charged us and to keep your commandments carefully. Oh, that my actions would consistently reflect your decrees. Then I will not be ashamed when I compare my life with your commands. As I learn your righteous regulations, we will thank you by living as we should. Dear Lord, thank you for what it is that you are revealing to us today. The way we must live for you, the call to live for you, the call to pick up our cross and follow you, the call to